So how did Amazon come to be worth more than $1 trillion? You know, a lot of us remember life before Amazon, kind of. Is Amazon's success because it innovated retail and mastered the internet early on? Or perhaps because it found a way to sell us everything we need? Or is it because of the iron-fisted leadership, a take-no-prisoners attitude of founder Jeff Bezos? Well, a new book explores all of the above. It's called The Everything War: Amazon's Ruthless Quest to Own the World and Remake Corporate Power. And the author is with us, veteran Wall Street Journal reporter Dana Mattioli. Dana, good to have you.
Happy to be here.
So let me read a couple of your words back to you from page 353. You write that every industry it enters, talking about Amazon, it can transform, become a market leader, and scare off others from attempting to enter a space. Seems to capture a lot of what you're writing about here, Amazon's origin story, its innovation, its tactics, its corporate culture. So let's go to the very beginning, as the song goes.
Sure.
The founder, Jeff Bezos, you know, one early employee told you the only way we were going to succeed was by being some combination of incredibly smart and ruthless. Let's start with smart. Jeff Bezos, you're right, as a toddler, he took apart his own crib with a screwdriver. What did he see in the earliest days of Amazon?
Yeah, it's hard to remember now when Amazon's this like unstoppable behemoth that this was an against all odds success story. He started the company predicated on online shopping at a time when 3% of Americans even had a computer, right?
Oh,
so he had the foresight. And he surrounded himself by brilliant people early on, but they were really largely idealists. They wanted to democratize reading. They were do-gooders. They weren't really out to make a lot of money. And
yeah, it
what
was
happened
books,
was,
right? In the early days, selling books.
Yeah, bookshops were the canary in the coal mine. They started to spread their tentacles in every corner of retail and later on into every other industry, and the culture started to change.
Yeah. Now, Dana, you write about many of what seem to be the darker sides of the company. And let me ask this question this way. If I'm a customer and I have an Amazon Kindle, an Amazon Echo device, sure, you know, I surely get value out of this. But how does Amazon use that to hoover up my data, get information that it wants?
Yeah, I think part of Amazon's secret sauce is that it has grown into one of the biggest conglomerates. It's this giant octopus with many different tentacles. And each of those tentacles is a market leader or one of the top players in the industry in which it occupies in its own right. And because of that, if you're a seller or if you're a competitor or a partner, you're often working with at least one of those tentacles, if not more, because they're a market leader on commerce, cloud computing, digital advertising. They're a Hollywood studio. So you could see how you might have to work with them even if you're competing with them. And that gives them unbelievable access to data, leverage in negotiations. And the book chronicles how some of that data winds up in the hands of departments at Amazon that stand to benefit from that data as well.
And some of that data, as you're right, I mean, it comes from, say, third-party sellers. Right. You can't not sell on Amazon. So you have to give Amazon some of your data. Amazon gathers that. Or if I'm a startup company and I want someone to buy me, I can't ignore Amazon talks to me about maybe buying my company. Then they have access to my data or perhaps my ideas, too. That's just part of the machine.
Yeah, that's sort of what you're giving up when you work with them. And, you know, there's a lot of examples in the story, in the book, on the record, where founders claim that by dealing with Amazon in good faith, their ideas were stolen. And, you know, I asked them, why did you deal with them? They said, you have to. They're one of the biggest companies in the world. But they think that their ideas were taken and used by their M&A apparatus or other parts of the business.
Mm. Okay, how about the perspective of the customer? I'm on the Amazon website and I'm searching for something where everything is there. What should I know about what's happening in the background? You know, what options are being pushed up to the top or muscled down to the bottom of the search list?
Yeah, so the book chronicles a pervasive habit of self-preferencing in Amazon. Because Amazon owns the operations and competes on it, oftentimes their products rise to the top of those search pages, right? And Amazon also relies on this mantra that starts with Jeff Bezos, but it's their guiding principle. It's called being customer obsessed, right? They say, we don't pay attention to the competition. We are all about the customer. but we were able to detail how Amazon has profited from selling items that are definitely not customer-obsessed, dangerous products like, you know, fake tourniquets, children's toys with lead in them, carbon monoxide detectors that don't detect carbon monoxide. And I think for many shoppers, even savvy shoppers, it's lost on them that this is not the equivalent of shopping at another big box retailer's online site. 60% of what is sold on Amazon is sold by third-party sellers from around the world. It's this unregulated bazaar. So that's something that I think is kind of elucidating.
Yeah. You also, of course, write about the situation for Amazon workers. At one, I think, warehouse site, Amazon did not pay for air conditioning at this warehouse in a very warm place, and instead put ambulances on the outside, presumably for money reasons.
Yeah, that actually, I should give credit where that comes from. That came from a local newspaper in Pennsylvania at the time. And this is when the tide started to change on Amazon. They had, for a long time, even when they were, you know, $150 billion company, they thought of themselves as this upstart, as this startup. And the behaviors that befit a true startup don't really befit a company that is now becoming the most fearful company in corporate boardrooms around the world. And around that time, there were situations of safety concerns in warehouses that were people were getting too warm and fainting and having to be hospitalized. And the company responded by setting up ambulances outside the fulfillment centers. But I would say that this is a broader situation that happens at Amazon, that there's this cutthroat culture, a Machiavellian drive to win that is driven by, you know, things like stack ranking, which they do. Every year, the bottom 6% of employees are cut, no matter what, no matter how the company is doing. So it's almost like a Hunger Games scenario where every day you're auditioning for your job each day against other coworkers. And I think that drives some of these behaviors that we see in the book. It could be hard to resist taking a look at data you're not supposed to look at and copying a product if you want to stand out against your coworkers.
Save your job.
Exactly. It could be difficult to forget intelligence that you learned in deal talks and not use it in your own product. And then it could also be hard to kick sellers off your website selling questionable goods if they're padding your numbers.
The antitrust lawsuit. Help us understand what the big questions in this case will be and what we may learn about Amazon as this case moves on.
Yeah, so the FTC sued Amazon in 2023 in September. And basically it said, Amazon knows that sellers need to be on Amazon.com. So they have all this leverage with their sellers who want to reach 200 million Prime accounts, right? And with that in mind, they're able to levy all sorts of fees on its sellers. And in some ways, the platforms become pay to play. And that's gone from an average take of a seller revenue from 19% in 2017 to nearly 50% today.
Oh my goodness.
So for every dollar a third-party seller makes on Amazon, they're giving Amazon 50 cents back because they're paying their commission. But also the sellers will tell you these optional fees like advertising or fulfillment by Amazon logistics are not optional. If you take those out, your products don't get sold, right? So because of that becoming really onerous and compressing seller margins, many of the ones I've spoken to have had to raise their prices for consumers to offset Amazon's fees. Until recently, Amazon had this contractual clause that said, for sellers, if you're selling on Amazon, your lowest price of that product has to be on Amazon, even if you're selling elsewhere. Well, if you have to offset the 50% take that Amazon's taking from your good on Amazon, that means you have to use that higher price also on Walmart.com and Target.com and wherever else you sell. And that's the crux of the FTC lawsuit. And if they're successful, it could mean a breakup of the company.
We've been talking to Dana Mattioli. She reports for The Wall Street Journal, and her new book is The Everything War, Amazon's Ruthless Quest to Own the World and Remake Corporate Power. You can read an excerpt on our website, heroandnow.org. Dana, congratulations on the book, and thanks for the time.
Thank you.